So 7 years ago, for those of you who are here and like, wow, it was that long ago. 7 years ago, we celebrated 50 years as a church. That was a video we put together back then to kind of set off the series we were working on. I kind of came across it this week looking at other things. I thought, what a great way to start off this Sunday when we're going to talk about kind of a next step, kind of what we want to see happen as a church. Just to kind of reflect and go, wow, remember all that's happened, remember all that God has been so faithful in over the years, and what we see God doing next is so incredibly important. So, and what a year it's been. And I go back to this verse constantly if you want to know where the whole idea of thrive is from. It's just this idea that Jesus talks about, that the thief's purpose is always to steal, kill, and destroy. So all the times that we are so tempted to look at what God says and say, oh, come on, nobody lives that way, nobody does that. I want to go my own way, I'm going to go over here. This looks like more fun, more exciting. There's more Instagram posts about that than doing things God's way. And I understand that, but you need to understand, that is the thief's purpose, is to steal, kill, and destroy. That's where it always goes. That's where it always ends. My purpose, Jesus says, is to give them a rich and satisfying life, that he wants us to thrive in every season, in valleys and mountaintops, and whatever we're facing and whatever we're going through, that God has something great in store for us. And so I just kind of always like to, and for probably we'll do this every now and then, just stop and reflect on the past year, because a lot has happened, and some of you have joined us in the middle of this journey or towards the end of this, but there's a lot that's happened over the past year, just so that we understand that. We've joined an organization called ARC, that's the Association of Related Churches. So this week I'm having lunch on Wednesday with the pastor of the ARC Church in Des Moines. It's called Summit Creek, and it's an opportunity because they are all about connecting. Okay, that's what they're about, helping pastors connect with other pastors, helping churches. And so one of the things we'll talk about this morning came about, it's something we've talked about, but came about because of this joining with ARC and being a part of this group. We've attained our own 501c3. We launched Iowa Kids Camp out of Iowa Junior Camp, and lots of you helped with that. And we had an incredible year. And then, of course, recently we have changed our name to Thrive. Okay, what's next? If I can just kind of throw out some things, and the last one is where we're going to land this morning. The other stuff are stuff in the works that I've started to have conversations with the elders about, and we're kind of working through these things. That how we want to organize is around this whole idea of thrive, is to plant, root, and grow. And all of you are in different stages of this. That what do we do to help get that seed out that Jesus talks about? That his word goes out as a seed, and that's what we are responsible for. We are not responsible after that. It says that God gives the growth. We're just responsible to get that seed out, to see what happens in people's lives and hearts when they accept the good news of Christ. And according to Jesus' example, there's lots of things that can happen. Okay? And the next part of that makes all the difference is how rooted do they become in who Jesus is and his word. Because the ones that don't become rooted, they don't stay very long and they fall away. That's just part of the parable. Every seed that failed was because it couldn't put down roots or put down very shallow roots, and it didn't take much to knock it over and blow it away. So roots are really important. How are we going to help you take those next steps in your faith, help you put down roots deep into Christ and his word so that you can do the third part, which is grow? And growing is a part that is a part of your entire life, okay? You want to know when you stop growing? When you die and go to be with Jesus, okay? That's when you stop. So it doesn't matter what point of your life you are in, okay? There is always more that Jesus is doing in our heart, conforming us into his likeness and who he is, because there's always stuff we got to deal with. There's always stuff that gets brought up. There's stuff that we see in us, we're like, oh, that's ugly. How did I do that? Why did I think that? Why did I do those things? And it's because Jesus is working those things out so we become more and more like him. And so we're trying to figure out what this looks like for our church to help us to do this. It's going to be more relational than programs. Now, what do I mean by that? Sometimes there's programs out that are really good and we can plug in. And sometimes there's just this idea that, well, you know, for example, if we would just do Awanas, we'd solve everybody's problems, right? And that's what happens. We look and we say, wow, there's these churches running all these programs. Why don't we just pick one of those? Because programs are ultimately supposed to be about relation and helping people grow. Jesus was all about that, and that's what he did with his disciples in helping them grow. He was all relational. It wasn't necessarily a program. Sometimes programs, and we're going to talk about one this morning, that we think would be really helpful. It's kind of a short-term thing that we think would be helpful. But if it's not built around relationships, it's going to be really hard to see any success with it. And then what we're going to talk about this morning is time to thrive. Time to thrive. What we want to see happen, not only for our church, but what we want to see happen for you and happen in your family and happen because God has something to say about all areas of our lives. Okay? So to do that, we're going to be in Psalm 72 for just a few minutes this morning. Now, Psalm 72 is interesting. If you have a Bible and you open up to it, some of you will have those little headings in your Bible, and it will say a Psalm of Solomon, okay? But that's really not true. It should say a Psalm about Solomon, because at the very end of the Psalm, when you're reading it, it says, this ends the prayers of David. Okay, wait a minute, I thought this was Solomon, and now it's David, and what happened, okay? What it really is about a first family transition in Israel, that David got to do something that nobody else had ever seen happen in Israel. And that was where one family takes the throne and passes it down to another member of the family. Saul was the first king. He didn't get that opportunity. He disobeyed God. God took the throne away from his family. He gives it to David. And now as David is nearing the end of his life, finishing his race, then he's got to hand this off to his son. And so this is kind of his prayer of blessing. And what's interesting in it, it doesn't just talk about Solomon. He talks about what happens to everybody else when leaders thrive, when people thrive. It's this incredible picture that I want us just to look at for a few minutes this morning before we get into this whole idea of time to thrive. Okay? So here's how he starts. Give your love of justice to the king, O God, and righteousness to the king's son. Can I stop there? When's the last time you prayed that for a public official? Okay? Right? It's just, I know, right? I haven't either. Okay? This is not what we do. Okay? We do not understand that when the leader thrives, everybody can do that. Okay? In fact, what do we do? We rip on leaders. Okay? That's what we do. And that's what we see happen all the time, especially in our crazy political climate, okay, that we are in. So when's the last time, let me go back, did you ever pray this for somebody? Give your love, O justice, to the mayor. Could we start there? No, I can't stand the mayor. Raise my taxes, right? Could you pray that for the governor? No. You know, it's crazy things she did. No. Could you do it for the president? No. Do you know how insane he is, right? Everybody has different stuff, right, that we can all talk about. And maybe be like, no, I don't have to pray that. I didn't vote for him. Okay, I don't have to pray that. Okay? That's sometimes what we do too. Doesn't matter. If we would pray for them, give your love of justice to them. Give your love of justice, Father, to them, that you would work in them. They're the ones leading. And if they would do well, do we understand that helps everything else go well? And so that's why we constantly try to remind you of that. Okay? Just praying for the leaders here in our church. Okay? But this is what David's prayer is going to be. I want my son to thrive. I want him to do well because of what that means to everything else. May all the godly, here it is, flourish during his reign. This is less about, God, you're just going to make Solomon awesome and amazing and make him the most best person ever. It's if he will do well, I think everybody will do well. So may all the godly, may all the people following God, may they flourish during his reign. Help him, isn't this interesting, to defend the poor. Wait a minute, I thought you were supposed to take advantage of the poor. No, defend the poor. Rescue the children of the needy, to crush their oppressors. This is an incredible prayer that he's going to pray for his son. That I wonder if we would just start praying that for the people who are leading us, how different that would be. Long live the king. May the Gold of Sheba be given to him. May the people always pray for him and bless him all the day long. There's another idea, okay? Hard to bless somebody when you're criticizing them all the time. Just is. It just is. Hard to create an atmosphere of flourishing and thriving if you're just complaining and griping all the time. Just hard to do that. And so that's what God sometimes asks us to do. Yeah, but they're doing stuff wrong. I understand that. But if all we do is gripe and complain, we might be missing out on what God really has called us to do. Something very different than the climate or the culture that we find ourselves in. May there be an abundant grain throughout the land, flourishing even on the hilltops. And may the fruit trees flourish like the trees of Lebanon. He's praying that everything would just flourish, everything would thrive, everything would go well. And may the people thrive like grass in a field. May they just flourish, may they be abundantly doing incredibly well. May the king's name endure forever. May it continue as long as the sun shines. May all the nations be blessed through him and bring him praise. It's just a very different psalm of thriving that can happen, of thriving that can take place. If we trust God, we pray for the people in charge, if we all remember our responsibility and what God has called us to do. Praise the Lord God, the God of Israel, who loaned us such wonderful things. This appears in our next season, the Christmas season. It is part of Zechariah's prayer that you find in Luke chapter 1. He goes back to this because many believe that David wasn't just praying for Solomon, but everybody in his line, which would ultimately be Jesus, who would come and be our King and our Savior and our Lord, that would forgive us and redeem us and rescue and save us. Praise his glorious name forever. Let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. It's a fabulous psalm. You should read the whole thing through sometime, because here it is about asking that God would just bless. And do you know, David's prayer was really, it's time to thrive. And guess what Israel did? They did it until they stopped following God. And you can read all about it. They had some incredible things happen. Solomon was able to complete the building of the temple, and it was an amazing moment in Israel's history. And then they just stopped following God. It started with Solomon. Solomon decided that having a lot of political bonds through marriage was important. So he went out and, you know, and married 700 women. I have no idea what he was doing, okay? And he was warned against that, because guess what most of them did? They didn't follow God. So guess what happened to Solomon? He stopped following God. Okay? It's just this domino effect that we try to tell you about all the time. That's why it's so important who you have relationships with. So ultimately, build marriages with people who believe the same as you and are going in that same direction. He didn't. And Solomon ultimately stopped following God. And Israel paid some huge prices later on, all because of that. And so they did well in hardship and difficulty. They did well following God through everything, until they stopped following God. And so this morning we just want to talk about this idea that it's time to thrive, and announce really a campaign. If that's a good word, probably a terrible word right now, okay? Nobody likes the word campaign, okay? But that's the picture of this, okay? It is a prayer and financial campaign to eliminate our debt and to stay on mission, okay? Notice it's both, okay? It's not just about money, it's about prayer, and you'll see that in a moment as we talk about this and connect with this. That's a campaign to try to do that. So the pictures you saw this morning kind of walked you through the history of the church. So in 2006, this building was constructed, okay? And in order to do that, we had to borrow money to do that. Everybody was committed to help giving towards that, so we would help work on that and pay it off. So we are 13 years into that. We are 13 years into that, and this is how much we have left, which is utterly amazing. Okay, if you're looking and go, is that good or not? Okay, it really is. It's really good that we are down this much. We have an opportunity to really eliminate this and free up money that can be used for other things that we want to use it for, but right now have to continue to pay our bill on this building. And That's part of what we want to do. What we want to see happen, what we want to see take place. And we think this is totally within our grasp, okay? Even the size of church we are, we believe this is totally within our grasp, that we have an opportunity to do this if we all work together. We all do this together, and we all partner together, and we do this together. This can be something that absolutely happens. This can be a number that is eliminated. It's at zero, and you know, we will have a huge celebration for what God has done through that as we've worked together to see that gone. Okay? So let me tell you how simple this is. If 20 people would give $20 a month, we would have this paid off by the end of 2021. Okay? Now, some of you are, you know, some of you are like, okay, there's 200 families, that means 40. You're gonna have to figure that out, what you can do as a family. Some of you can do more than $20 a month. Okay? Some of you can do more than that. And you can help us out that way. But it's that simple. It's like, wow, really? It's that easy that it's out there to grasp that if we just work together, we could do this. If 20 of us did this, okay, imagine 40 of us did this, okay, how much better that would be and how much faster we would get to that goal. It's totally possible. It's totally within reach if we would ask, can I do this? Is this what God wants me to do? So I'm going to ask a couple of the elders to come and pass out what are our cards of commitment. That we are not asking you to fill out this morning. We are asking you to hold on to this morning and look at this morning and see what, and pray about this morning, okay? So these are going to go out. You're going to, you know, every family's going to get one. And then as you get it and as you look at it, I want you to notice a couple things that are on here for your consideration and for you to think about, okay? The first part of this, okay, which everybody in the room needs to check off, okay, when you get to that point, but only if you're willing to pray for us. The first box everybody in here can check off. It costs you zero, okay, except that you're going to take time and you're going to pray, and it simply says this: I believe God is using Thrive Church to help lead people into a growing relationship with Christ, and I pledge to pray and pray often for the unique opportunities the Thrive Church has to carry out their mission. Everybody in this room can check this box, okay? Everybody can make a commitment to do that. And let me just tell you, that is, you know why it's first? Because it's the most important thing. We really need you to do that. We really need you to pray, and pray often for our church, for the opportunities we have, that we would carry out our mission, that God would do something great. We really need you to check that box, if nothing else, okay? We really, really need you to consider doing that. The second ones are, my pledge to Thrive Church is to generally and sacrificially give, and this is above your normal giving, okay? Because they already stopped their normal giving, just give to this, that wouldn't help, I'm just telling you, okay? This is above what you normally give, okay? To give blank number of dollars every month this year. This is a one-year commitment, okay? Because frankly, I think we're going to get to the end of this year and just be blown away at how much is really left because we all banded together, we all worked together, okay? So I'm not asking you for the end of 2021. I'm asking you for the end of 2020. That's what we are asking you as a church. That's what the elders and I, we are asking you to consider. What can you give per month, starting January, going to December of 2020, okay? That's when this would start, okay? So your kids aren't going to write me and say, you took away my Christmas present, thank you, my parents gave to church, okay? This starts in January, and this is what we're asking you to consider and doing. The second one is I give blank, a one-time gift to the Time to Thrive campaign, okay? You're like, I don't know if I can do it every month, but you know, we had this gift come in, and I'd like to give so much, then you can check that and do that. Name is optional, okay? And we are asking these to be returned by the end of this month, okay? For you to think about this, pray about this, figure out what you can do, what God has blessed you with that you can help us. And if we would all work together, I think we'd see some amazing things. This will be available online. There are ways through our giving system that you can set this up. Because you're like, oh my goodness, how am I going to remember to do that? You can actually set it up. You can pick whatever day of the month you want. You can set this up, and it would automatically come out on that day every month for the rest of the year, or however you want to set that up, okay? So that's what we are asking you to consider this morning. Now, I said there's a personal part to this, and there is, okay? Because it isn't just about we're going to all get together and we're going to help the church. That there is a way in this, okay? There's something we want to do alongside of this to help you personally with your finances, okay? Do you know that 78% live paycheck to paycheck? That's probably true in this room. We probably could, just relate to that, okay? And so, and this is something we've wanted to do before. I can't even tell you how many times this came up in an elders meeting that we talked about this, okay? Some of you have heard of Financial Peace University, okay? This would take place over 9 weeks. It would take place the Thursday nights in January and February, okay? And this is a simple, and it's a program, but it's based on relationships and doing it together, where there is help financially so that you can, as individuals, as families, thrive. Because probably one of the biggest things, and this is probably true, we could just own this morning, most of us who are married, we probably argue about money probably the most, okay? That's just what happens. Money can cause a lot of tension, can cause a lot of angst, if we don't understand how God wants us to handle it. So, what I want you to do is I want you to watch this video, okay? And then I want you to hear from somebody who's actually gone through this class, okay? So, watch the video, and then you're going to hear somebody who actually has been to this class, and you are going to find out why she did it.
For close to 20 years, families have been changing their futures through Financial Peace University.
I started it with a bad suit and overhead projector. I set the room for 135 people, 4 people came. And now today we've had over 1.5 million families go through this course. That's over 2 million people across this nation.
You may be wondering, what is it?
What Financial Peace University is about is a return to God's ways of handling money, but in a very practical, step-by-step game plan showing you exactly how to do it.
FPU is about learning how to control your money.
When you make these dollars behave, you're going to get this sense of power over your money that you've never, ever had. Don't move into a home with 62 debts or 6 debts or 2 debts and no money. You move into a home broke with a bunch of debt around your neck, Murphy will move in your spare bedroom, bring his 3 cousins, broke, desperate, and stupid.
Marriages are being made stronger. Couples are learning how to talk to each other about money and getting on the same page.
The closest statistical correlation to success going through this program are those that actively engage in this budgeting process, and for those that are married, they're doing it together. You change your life when you get sick and tired of being sick and tired. When you get disgusted and you have that moment where you say, I'm not going to live like this anymore. We're done. We're changing this thing. Talk about the why. Talk about your dreams. Ask your spouse, what would we do? Where would we travel to? What would we buy? What would be changed if we became something as a couple where we were working together on that? Now, man, I'm sure you know this, and we've been talking about it for the last few minutes, but it's very true. Women are different, aren't they? Say yes. One of the things you may or may not know is they have a gland right in here that you don't have. It's called the security gland. And when she is feeling insecure due to money issues, that gland spasms. And it is attached to her face.
This 9-lesson, 90-minute class will challenge you.
Now, this is a boot camp. I'm your coach. And so I'm gonna make you uncomfortable sometimes. You're gonna go, oh, I don't really like him tonight. Now, if I agree with that, which would make you wrong. That's what happens when a coach coaches you, doesn't it? He kind of rubs you the wrong way. There's a little friction on there, right? I've had some good coaches, and they lift me up a time or two, but it caused me to go places I couldn't go otherwise.
Life change is never easy, but you won't be alone. You'll watch a DVD each week and discuss it with your small group. Your classmates will encourage you and help you take those first steps. You'll walk away from FPU knowing how to relate with money. You'll learn how to pay off debt and save for the future. And you'll learn how to protect your plan. We aren't born knowing everything we need to about money. We learn, and there's no better place to learn than the Word. The Bible offers more than 800 scriptures on money, and Financial Peace University is based on that solid foundation.
You are literally going to be doing things every week differently than you ever have based on biblical principles. And things like doing the budget, things like working with your spouse, things like singles having an accountability partner, things like teaching your kids so that a godly man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. It's not theory. This is actual application on everything. What would happen if the people of God started handling money God's ways? What would happen? What would happen to the kingdom of God if the people of God were out of debt?
All you need is a plan. Financial Peace University is that plan.
So as I said, I want you to hear from someone who's actually been in this class. So Heather, come on up here. So Jason and Heather, it's something that we have wanted to offer but haven't. ARC offered that opportunity to have a partnership to be able to do that. And so Heather and Jason wanted to do that, and so they went over to First Assembly and did that. And so why did you decide to go do Financial Peace?
We are part of the 78%, living paycheck to paycheck, sometimes not making it to that paycheck. Have goals, couldn't get to them, achieve them, didn't know what we were doing wrong, and circle on the drain for years.
And so how's it helped that you went and you guys did that together?
The first week, you learn how to communicate. You learn your different financial personalities, and that was very eye-opening for us. And then being able to, high bills, okay? He doesn't need to know about this one. He doesn't realize that we missed last month's payment. So, hide that bill from him. Not godly, not honest, but it's what we did, it's what I did. And so we learned how to communicate, and we learned how to work together to achieve goals and start saving money, start spending wisely. I, for one, am anxious or excited for this program so we can take a refresher course, because once you join, you can take it for free after that time. So really excited to relearn some things that we've mastered a few things, and now we need to move on to the next step.
Right. Anything else you want to share with him about the class? Mm-hmm.
It's actually kind of fun. Dave Rams is pretty funny. And I kind of like funny. and it's quick. 90 minutes are quick. You really bond with the people in the room with you because they understand. They're in the same place. So I really encourage anyone who, even if it's just a little bit of problems you might be having, or if you just need to get a stronger hold, or even bring your children, because kids are taking in high school, but bring the kids and get them going to learn how to save money and spend wisely.
All right, and if you have questions about it, you can talk to Heather anytime. So help me thank her for coming up and sharing today about us. So yes, there is a cost to it, and that's part of an investment in your marriage, your family, and moving forward for that. Okay, so a couple things just to wrap up, okay? We would like these back by the end of the month, okay? The last Sunday of the month is November 24th, and so we would like them back by that. It starts in January, but if you want to give money to it now, we're going to let you, okay? We won't stop you. But that's when it starts, that's what we're hoping, that we all work together and we see some incredible results take place, okay? Sean's not here this morning, so I can't make him stand up, but Sean, who did our sign for us out front, said, "Hey, Ed, I just went on my own and did something. Hope it's okay." And so he took that same vinyl, which some of you have these little decals on your car and different stuff. So Sean took what was left over, and he made us 15 of these that just say Thrive Church, that can go in the back corner of your windshield. So the first 15 that we get in, I have 15 of these, and these will be yours just to say thank you for filling out the card getting it into us so that we can start this and move forward and eliminate this and see all that God is going to do through this, okay? Pray about signing up for financial peace, okay? There will be information on our website about it, and we have a specific group number. So actually, if you go to financial peace, because we could have people from our own community sign up. You don't have to go to our church to be a part of it. And Dave Ramsey's organization puts this out everywhere, and sometimes people sign up and go, oh, it's at a church in Indianola, and I've always wanted to take that, and they will take it. And it's actually a way that people in the community come and connect up with us. So, you know, Jason Heather did it over at First Assembly. We are so glad to be able to get a partnership and be able to offer that. It is time to thrive. That's what we're going to just ask you to believe with us, that we can eliminate that, that many of you will join Financial Peace, that you will see the results in your own family, in your own marriage, that things would get better, and that God would do something great in our church as we watch that debt go down and we are able to use those resources elsewhere. So let's just pray that God would help us to have some good conversations at home about what we can do, what we are able to do. Everybody in here can check that first box that says, I'm going to pray. And I don't care what you give, you need to check that first box that says, I will pray and pray often for our church in the midst of all of this. So let's pray together and just ask God that he would just work in an incredible way in our church through this. Dear Heavenly Father, this morning we have just talked about what is possible if we would just trust you. And Father, I pray that there are good conversations today about what we can do and how we can help and what we can do in this campaign. I pray that everybody in here would check that first box that says, I'm going to make it a point to pray, that our church would do well, that we would be on mission, that we would lead people in a growing relationship with you. I pray that above all else, we'd understand how important it is that we would be praying for our church. And then, Father, would you help us discover what we can do, what we are able to do with what you have given to us. All we have is a gift from you. We pray that this morning we would know that, and we would have conversations about what part we can play in watching what you are going to do here. I also pray for couples who know it's probably a good idea for them to take financial peace, but a little nervous, a little apprehensive, that you would help them to get over that hump and be willing to do this, be willing to take a next step in their marriage and see what you might do in their family and in their finances, so that if there are a point now where they cannot give, that one day they can give, that you will lead them to financial freedom and the opportunity to give. So we just offer this to you. We ask you to work in a powerful way in our church and in our lives. May we just this year understand it's time to thrive, it's time to move forward, it's time to eliminate the debt and use the money for continuing to carry out our mission of leading people into a growing relationship with you. We thank you, Father, and we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.